Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Rosenshine Principles in Action by Tom Sherrington is a concise professional education book that translates Bark-Rosenshine research-based principles of instruction into practical classroom guidance. The book belongs to the genre of evidence-informed teaching and professional development, with a clear focus on lesson design, explanation, modeling, questioning, review, and practice. Rather than presenting a new theory of learning, Sherrington reorganizes Rosenshine's widely cited principles into a usable framework for teachers and school leaders. Its purpose is to help educators connect cognitive science and classroom observation with everyday decisions about how to teach new material, check understanding, reduce overload, and build student independence. The book is especially known for its four strands, which make the original 10 principles easier to remember and apply. Its value lies in turning a compact research summary into a disciplined approach to instructional routines without claiming that every classroom activity should be teacher-led. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the four-strand framework turns 10 principles into a teachable workflow. A central contribution of the book is Sherrington's reorganization of Rosenshine's 10 principles into four connected strands reviewing material. Questioning and checking for understanding, sequencing concepts with modeling and scaffolding, and stages of practice. This matters because the original principles can be read as a list of good techniques, while the four strands present them as a coherent instructional sequence. Teachers are not merely reminded to ask questions, model examples, or provide practice. They are shown how these moves depend on one another during a lesson or unit. Reviewing prior learning prepares students for new material. Sequencing and modeling help students encounter difficult content without unnecessary overload. Questioning reveals whether the explanation has worked. Guided and independent practice then consolidate learning. The framework is practical because it reduces complexity without oversimplifying teaching. It does not prescribe a single lesson script, but it gives teachers a mental map for planning instruction. This makes the book especially useful in professional development, where shared language is needed to discuss classroom practice precisely. Secondly, small steps and modeling protect working memory during new learning. Sherrington emphasizes the importance of presenting new material in small, manageable steps, a principle closely connected to cognitive load. Learners have limited working memory when dealing with unfamiliar content. So teaching that introduces too many ideas at once can create confusion even when the material itself is important. The book, therefore, highlights careful sequencing, clear explanation, and explicit modeling. Modeling is not treated as simply showing an answer. It involves making the process visible, including how an expert selects information, applies a rule, solves a problem, or constructs a response. Worked examples are especially important because they allow students to study successful performance before attempting the task independently. Scaffolding then provides temporary support, such as prompts, partial solutions, sentence structures, or guided steps, which can be withdrawn as confidence and competence increase. The reasoning is that independence is more likely when students first experience clarity and success. The book frames this approach as intellectually serious rather than reductive. Breaking tasks down is not the same as lowering expectations, because it allows students to master complex performance through controlled progression. Thirdly, questioning is used to diagnose understanding rather than decorate discussion. The book treats questioning as a core mechanism for checking learning, not merely as a way to make lessons appear interactive. Effective questioning helps teachers find out what students have understood, what they have partially understood, and where misconceptions are forming. This is important because learning cannot be inferred reliably from quiet attention or a few confident volunteers. Sherrington encourages teachers to use questioning deliberately and frequently, with the aim of gathering evidence from a broad range of students. The point is not to increase teacher talk or student talk for its own sake, but to make instruction responsive. If answers reveal confusion, the teacher can reteach, provide another model, adjust the example, or slow the sequence. If answers show secure understanding, practice can become more demanding. This makes questioning a feedback system within instruction. The book also implies that checking for understanding should occur before students are released into independent work, because unsupported practice can reinforce errors. In this sense, questioning protects both lesson time and student confidence by identifying problems while they are still correctable. Fourthly, review and retrieval connect prior knowledge to new material. Reviewing material is presented as more than a warm-up activity. In Sherrington's framework, review serves two linked purposes. It strengthens recall of prior learning and prepares students to understand new content. This reflects a central insight from cognitive science: students learn new material more effectively when relevant knowledge is available and usable. If essential prior knowledge is weak, new explanations can fail because students lack the mental structures needed to interpret them. Regular review, including daily, weekly, or spaced retrieval, helps move knowledge toward long-term memory and makes it easier to apply in new contexts. The book therefore places review at the start of the instructional workflow, but its significance extends across a curriculum. It supports cumulative learning, especially in subjects where later topics depend heavily on earlier ones, such as mathematics, science, languages, and history. Review also gives teachers diagnostic information. If students cannot retrieve earlier content, the teacher can revisit it before adding more complexity. The practical implication is that planning should include deliberate return to important knowledge, not only coverage of new material. Lastly, guided practice builds fluency before independent performance. The stages of practice strand explains why students often need substantial guided practice before they can work independently with accuracy and confidence. Sherrington draws attention to the risk of moving too quickly from explanation to independent tasks. When students are still novices, unguided work can lead to low success rates, frustration, or repeated mistakes. Guided practice allows the teacher to supervise initial attempts, give immediate feedback, and ensure that students are rehearsing correct procedures or ideas. High success rates are important because they indicate that the difficulty level is appropriate and that students are consolidating rather than guessing. Over time, support is gradually reduced so that students assume more responsibility. This sequence connects modeling, checking for understanding, feedback, and practice into one process. The book does not imply that independent learning is unimportant. It argues that independence should be earned through secure preparation. This is a distinctive point because it challenges the assumption that giving students autonomy early automatically produces deeper learning. Instead, Sherrington positions fluency and confidence as outcomes of structured rehearsal followed by carefully timed release. In conclusion, Rosenshine Principles in Action is best suited to classroom teachers, instructional coaches, school leaders, teacher trainers, and education students who want a practical bridge between research and everyday teaching. It is particularly useful for educators working on explanation, curriculum sequencing, formative assessment, retrieval practice, and the transition from guided to independent work. The practical benefit is a clearer decision framework for lessons: what should be reviewed, how new material should be broken down, how understanding will be checked. And when students are ready for independent practice, the intellectual benefit is that it links familiar classroom routines to evidence-informed ideas about working memory, long-term memory, scaffolding, and effective teacher guidance. Compared with many books in the teaching improvement genre, it stands out because it is short, focused, and organized around a well-known research synthesis rather than a broad philosophy of education. It is not a complete theory of schooling, nor does it attempt to cover every form of learning, collaboration, or inquiry. Its strength is narrower and more practical. It clarifies the instructional core of teaching when students need to acquire, understand, rehearse, and retain new knowledge. That specificity makes it valuable as a shared professional text and as a reference for improving lesson design without excessive jargon. If you would like to support Tom Sherrington, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.